Welcome to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by nobody. It is Sunday evening. I am going to be answering your guys' questions as I do every single week. And just a reminder, if you have a question or a topic that you absolutely want covered, the best way to guarantee that it gets covered is to put it in the form of a five-star review on iTunes, and I promise I will get to it. If you label it as something that you want Pete and I to get to, then I will get to it. You know, I'll pass it along to Pete and we'll answer it whenever we have a chance to. We are heading into the portion of the offseason. The Lakers have hired their head coach. They have made their decision on how their front office is going to work and whether or not they are not going or whether or not they are going to replace Magic Johnson. Looks like they aren't. So we are going to reach the portion of the offseason here where there are fewer topics in terms of daily developments that there are to talk about. So send in your topics, and they don't even have to be Lakers related. Send me wine suggestions, food suggestions, recipes, hobbies, personal questions, I don't care, entertainment questions, anything that you want to do that you want covered on the show, send it in the form of a five-star review, and I promise I will get to it. Today's shows are brought to you by, or for the foreseeable future, the shows are going to be brought to you by Hotels.com, by Grip6, and by Untuckit. More on those companies here in a bit, but I just want to give you guys a shout out and thank you guys for all the support that you guys have given us and the support that you have given to sponsors thus far. The more that we support and reciprocate the support that sponsors offer us, the better the show can be and the longer we can keep doing this. So thank you guys very much for all the support that you guys have given us in the various ways that you have done so. We had our biggest week ever last week. So give yourselves a pat on the back for that. And let's keep this thing rolling. Let's keep this thing going. Let's keep on growing. All right, enough of that. Let's dive into these questions. The first question comes from Mr. Awesome O3000. As always, love the podcast, and this is the last remaining reason I am still holding on to being a Lakers fan. Thank you. At this point, as the plot thickens that the Sith Lord Shadow GM is Phil Jackson with his lackey Rambus as his voice, this seems to be Genie's answer to the Clippers hiring, or in this case, rehiring Jerry West's question. This being the case, do we trust Phil to have a plan and that plan working? He does have more rings than anybody else and is the Zen master. You want me to be honest? We saw him in a front office in New York, right? Like he was a disaster there. He was very much like Magic Johnson as an executive in New York. His work ethic wasn't great. He was brash with his decision making. He refused to listen to advisors and stuff like that. And then finally, was on the verge of apparently trading Kristaps Porzingis, and Jim Dolan said he had enough. And look, if Jim Dolan is looking at you and saying you're inept, right? Oof. So maybe he learned from that. Maybe he's gone through that enough to say, okay, yeah, that was bad, and my approach to that was bad, and the decisions I made were bad. But here's my thing, and this is something that I have said quite a bit about the Lakers front office in general, is there are a lot of people who are not very good at taking accountability and admitting mistakes, right? And in this case, they add Phil Jackson, who gives off a very similar vibe. Maybe he has picked up a few things in LA and implement the things that I have learned as a result of those mistakes. Maybe. Hopefully. He has plenty of mistakes to learn from, but I'm not exactly holding my breath for it. All right, that's the first question. This first segment is going to be a little short because I have, you know, some pretty cool things to plug here in a second. So what we're going to do, I'm going to throw to this first break, pay a few bills, and then when we come back, I'm gonna answer maybe an extra question here and there to really give you guys the proper bang for your buck. So hold tight. We'll come back here in a second. Today's show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com, Unticket, and Grip 6 Belts. Here's the deal. This is my first Father's Day coming up. It's weird to me. It's hard for me to answer when Jen asks me, hey, what would you like for Father's Day? What are you excited to get for Father's Day? I never really know what to say, right? This is a first time answering. Just in general, it's tough. Here's a few ideas. Hotels.com, you can go on a trip. You can get away for a weekend, right? Hop on to Hotels.com. Go there. Do that. Go out and live. Enjoy your fatherdom by getting away from your kids. Unticket is an incredible product. You feel these shirts that, you know, they're sometimes are too long, sometimes are too short, but Unticket has figured out a way to make a perfectly fitting shirt that looks great untucked. And you know, as I get the dad bod, there's nothing worse than trying to tuck in a shirt and making it look like I haven't expanded as a result of my marriage. But Unticket has that figured out. You can just rock this shirt. It's the perfect length. Go to Unticket.com and use the promo code NBA to get 20% off. And then you need a belt? Go to Grip 6. I have four of these now. They're incredible belts. They're super comfortable. It doesn't even feel like you have a belt on. It is literally exactly how tight or how loose you want to wear it. They look great. They never really wear either. It's an incredible product. So if your wife or anybody else, or if you're looking to buy a gift for your dad, check out those three places. Go to hotels.com, check out untuckit.com, use the promo code NBA, or go to grip6.com/lock, as in L-O-C-K-E, to check out any of those products and use them as options heading into what I consider a really exciting Father's Day weekend. All right, so the next question here comes from Ike Candy B. Hi, Anthony. Two questions for you. Now that we are done with one debacle, the coaching search, in the middle of a never-ending one, the bus and the rambi, what can we expect to happen with another issue that is just as important, the training/medical staff? How has this not been resolved yet? Lonzo Ingram, Hart, blah, blah, blah. So there's analysis here at the end of the question. Long story short, they did address it, right? They brought back Judy Sato, who worked with Kobe, and Kobe had, in until the Achilles tear, was incredibly healthy over the course of his career. A lot of that had to do with insane work ethic, borderline psychopathic, right? But nonetheless, Judy Sato does not earn the respect of a Kobe without being great at her job. I also spoke to Jen, who is a physical therapist, and hears all kinds of things about Judy and other people in her industry. And Jen assures me that Dr. Sato is a legend in the field, right? She's an icon. So in that respect, it's a great hire. She has worked out phenomenally before. My one, I guess, caveat to this, my one concern here is that it is yet another Lakers family hire, right? Sometimes these things have a way of working out, right? Jerry West worked out. He was Laker family. The Lakers didn't exactly search high and low for somebody they considered to, their next great executive, or their, for Dr. Jerry Buss. Really his first great executive, although he did work, I think, at the tail end of Bill Sharman's career. But in Jerry West's case, the person that they found and the Laker family icon that they went with just worked out. He wound up being an incredible hire and will probably go down as one of the absolute best executives in the history of basketball, if not professional sport here in America. That might be the case here with Judy Sato, that she is just that great, and the Lakers lucked into finding her as a part of the Lakers family. My thing is, this is a risk that the Lakers don't have to take. Any number of physical therapists, doctors, whatever, team doctors would die to work with the Lakers. And yet, you know, they keep going back to this well of, okay, did you at one point work for the Lakers? Do you have family who was at one point working for the Lakers? Did you at one point brush shoulders with Kobe Bryant? And if so, how great was that brushing of the shoulders? And did he bump you, or was it much more of an actual brush? And I'm kidding. That's a stupid point to make. But anywho, that's my concern here is the lack of creativity. It's just they don't have to operate this way. They don't have to take on this inherent risk of opportunity cost by just hiring Lakers people. Maybe Sato works out. Maybe this is the proper direction for the Lakers to take. But for right now, I'm consider me a little nervous that once again the Lakers just kind of shut themselves off to a potentially better hire. Next question here comes from Scott in Yorba Linda. Anthony, appreciate the up-to-the-moment coverage on the fluid Lakers situation. Please help us understand how the Lakers' brain trust can be patting themselves on the back and calling this an obvious upgrade over Luke. I'm guessing this is Frank Vogel. Will they dare have a press conference and throw Vogel out there while Rob Littlefinger hides off stage? Or will they hope and wait until they can put Frank Vogel out there with a top name free agent signing in July? By the way, don't you think Kelly's and Yorba Linda would be a great place for a watch party? Scott, friend of the pod, Yorba Linda. I know the owners of Kelly's, and in theory I could see it working out. It's a little small as a space, and it would be tough to get people to go there specifically for a Locked On Lakers event, right? And kind of isolate it. The nice thing about Tom's Urban was that we had it upstairs and we were able to get away from the crowd, and people who weren't interested in listening to me talking about the Lakers didn't have to, right? So in theory, I could see it working out. And I know that Jim over there would be thrilled to work with us. I'll talk to him and see what he thinks, and we can go from there. The other thing, too, is that it's kind of far for Pete, but, you know, like I said, we'll try to make it work. In terms of the Frank Vogel press conference, so I am recording this on Sunday night. Early Sunday morning, Magic is going on First Take to talk about whatever, right? I can't imagine he's going to give up the dirt, but, you know, who knows? 4 hours later, the Lakers are going to put Frank Vogel out there in front of the media. And I don't know for sure if Rob Pelinka is going to sit up there. I don't know for sure if Kurt Rambis is going to sit up there for sure. I just went to Harrison's graduation, and afterward we went out to lunch and stuff. And one of the points that Harrison made that I think is really prescient right now is the Lakers have yet to announce Jason Kidd. And they have done that, and they are going to have Frank Vogel's press conference before doing that, so that Frank doesn't have to answer questions about Jason Kidd, right? So, look, the Lakers' approach to public relations right now is stick head in sand, hope noise goes away. but that's not how this works. It's not like I'm going anywhere, right? It's not like these questions about the way the Lakers are operating are going anywhere. It's not like these questions about Jason Kidd and his background and why he had to be such a priority that the Lakers, I mean, it was reported that the Lakers didn't consider Lou a good fit for the organization because he refused to have Jason Kidd on his coaching staff. Okay, then fine. Explain how Jason Kidd is so important that you're willing to hire a lesser coach. Not just in, you know, general, but for this specific situation, like why is Jason Kidd so important that you go out and hire a lesser coach, right? None of these questions are going to be asked because, well, they haven't announced Jason Kidd. And the way this is probably going to go is, hey, yeah, what's going on here with Jason Kidd? And they're going to say, well, we haven't announced anything. There's nothing really to talk about yet on that front. And then the question is going to move on, and it's going to be really frustrating for all involved. And again, it's cowardice, right? It's negligence. It's an affront to all of our intelligences. And it's a bummer. That's really what it comes down to. It's a bummer. Let's go one more question here. T. Brian writes, I've rarely missed an episode with you and Pete. Question for you and Pete, what's better, Jim Buss, who believed he himself had the answer and proceeded to implement his vision no matter how wrong it was, or Jeannie Buss, who believes in her sycophantic friends and associates who have bent the knee no matter how mediocre they are just to blow air up her mother of dragons delusion? As Laker fans, we're screwed no matter what unless LeBron can channel his Jon Snow to comb through the top free agents and recruit them to push back on the potential winter of failure in Lakerland. So in terms of like Thrones analogies, well done. Really, really, really good work there. I'm going to run this by Pete. This is going to be my last question before we throw to the break. So I'll answer this kind of quickly. That's the problem you run into with inherited teams, right? We saw it with Jim Dolan. We're seeing it here with Jeannie Buss. There are other, I remember Georgia Frontier or something like, I forget exactly how to pronounce her last name, but I believe she inherited the team from her husband and was a disaster of an owner of the Rams. Gail Benson ran into some of those problems last year. And you know, fortunately, it seems like has righted that ship a little bit. So maybe there's hope that Jeannie figures it out and the other Buss siblings figure it out. But yeah, that's kind of one of the concerns that you have when a billion-dollar corporation is the head of that corporation doesn't have their job because they earned it. They have their job because they were born into it. Even if we don't want to go so far as to say that it doesn't work out very well very often, we can at least say that there's an inherent risk that the best person for that job isn't going to be hired ever, because that's not how that works. So it's a legitimate concern, and this is something I've been thinking about quite a bit, and I have tried to figure out a way to put this into words, but the Buss family has access to one of the more powerful brands in the history of marketing, right? The Lakers, if the Lakers want to work with anybody, that anybody is going to be willing to bend over backwards to work with them, right? And I would imagine that would extend to beyond just Lakers stuff, just basketball stuff. And it's weird to me that Jeannie Buss and her siblings haven't been able to relay that into any kind of revenue stream that is not directly attached to the Lakers. There are no investments. There's no land stuff. It's just basically the Lakers that they are driving their wealth off of. And, you know, while Dr. Jerry Buss did an incredible job building that brand, it probably doesn't speak well to their collective understanding of business that you don't hear about the Buss family as like one of the wealthiest families in America, right? And it's a legitimate concern that the Buss family, in this case Jeannie Buss specifically, you know, it maybe she approaches their coaching search a little differently if she had relayed Lakers success to financial success outside of the Lakers, right? And you know, she is seen as, and by all accounts in regards to the Lakers, Jeannie is seen as an incredible business person. She has a good business mind. But it's fair to wonder if Jeannie has anything to do with the Lakers' business success, or if it's just the Lakers are such a titanic brand that it's too big to fail, right? In just in terms of business, and Jeannie's lack of success elsewhere is a pretty glaring hole in her resume. Let's take another quick second here, and when we come back, I'm going to answer a few more of your questions. Today's going to be a little shorter of a show, just because I'm going to split these up and answer the second half of these tomorrow. But we'll get to the rest of these here in a second. All right, DS Lakers writes, what are your predictions on the press conference when they finally announce a new head coach? Which members of the front office will be there? What will their message be? Will the media ask hard-hitting questions about the process? Remember, we never got real exit interviews, so this is what crazy fans like me are looking forward to. You're not alone, for one thing. My prediction is that the Lakers sidestep quite a bit of stuff. Rob Pelinka, who we've already seen, after the lottery, he gave a press conference by conference call. And in it, said a whole lot of words without really saying anything. And frankly, it was good to hear that, right? It's a skill that Magic Johnson did not have or did not display, at the very least. And it was nice, it was kind of refreshing to read through Rob Pelinka's stuff and say, hey, this is just verbal diarrhea. And just imagine how bad things are that I'm looking forward to verbal diarrhea, right? But that's kind of where the Lakers reside currently. For the press conference, I think we'll see a lot of that. I don't think Jeannie Buss is going to sit up there and say anything. I don't think she'll field questions. I don't think we'll see any of the Rambai. I think it'll be Pelinka and Vogel who are thrown to the wolves, and the questions are closely monitored. Now, remember, look, nothing against the people I'm going to name here, right? This is literally their job that they are paid to do, but Mike Trudell is a Lakers employee. I would imagine he gets a question here and there, right? Kevin Ding is a Lakers employee. He probably gets a question in as well. We always know that Jim Hill is going to get a question. He's not a Lakers employee, but he's not exactly known for hard-hitting questions or analysis, right? By the way, he's an icon. I'm not going to say a bad word against Jim Hill. He's incredible. And then that leaves probably, you know, if Rob Pelinka goes, and I would imagine this is going to be the plan, Rob is going to go super long on Trudell's question. He's going to go super long probably on Ding's question. He's going to go extra long on Jim Hill's question. And that leaves maybe three questions from the remaining media there, right? And it's hard to ask hard-hitting questions when you don't have really the opportunity, right? Part of why, you know, one of the tough things about that kind of a setting is you don't really get follow-ups, right, without looking like you're speaking completely out of turn. So if, let's say I have a question, hey, what's going on with Jason Kidd? And they say, well, there's nothing to report here. There's nothing to comment on. We haven't officially announced or even potentially hired Jason Kidd, right? Then they move on to the next asker of the question. Now, I could hold the mic and say, no, hold on. What are your general thoughts then on Jason Kidd? Why has it been reported that Jason Kidd was such a priority that you were willing to let Tyronn Lue walk away without hiring him to hire somebody who you previously deemed your or an assistant coach to Ty Lue, right? That's what you originally thought Frank Vogel was capable of. What changed there? And, you know, you could answer, you could try to ask follow-up after follow-up after follow-up, but then the reporter winds up looking like a blowhard. And the PR, the narrative at that point becomes about, you know, it turns to what was that one reporter doing asking four questions there, right? And some reporters are willing to do that. Some are not. And, you know, frankly, if you don't get the opportunity to do that, then you're just kind of stuck, right? So I would imagine this press conference tomorrow, I'm recording this on Sunday night, so by the time you guys are listening to this, this press conference today is going to be very closely monitored and very attentively steered with very little actually said. That'd be my prediction. And it'll be frustrating when that happens. And I'll be here to cover and react every single one of those questions after it all takes place. Let's go. Another question here comes from me first time. Two things. Why didn't Game of Thrones let Cersei get killed by the actual hands of someone deserving? Very good question. I don't know. It's kind of a bummer. Secondly, I watch every episode of Lakers Sportsnet, and I know they are paid by the Lakers, but is there some kind of professional code where they're required to be honest? People like Allie Clifton attributing Giannis's develop to Jason Kidd's coaching is an outright falsehood. I agree. I like Bill Oram too, but I was hoping he'd spit some truth as well on the Vogel episode about the hiring process. I haven't seen any of these. I don't really watch these shows, completely honest. I think Laker fans need to hear the truth about the happening since no one in the front office is stepping up. Keep up the good work, and congrats on the baby. Thank you. Let's let the baby get here, and then I'll really light it up. But here's my thing. I'm going to try to say this without sounding too inflammatory of those, because Spectrum has been really nice. They host bloggers every year. They're good people over there. They're just in a spot where, as corporate partners of the Lakers are going to very closely steer the narrative that Spectrum puts out there. And if you want to be invited back onto those TV shows and paid and get paid to do so, then you kind of sort of have to toe that line as well. Okay. I don't think I said anything or spoke out of line there at all. Here's my thing though. Here's my additional analysis to that. Thank you, Sportsnet. Thank you, Spectrum. Right? The more that they have to toe that line, the more that the less willing they are to actually criticize the Lakers, the more people might be interested in a show like mine or a show like Pete and Darius's, right? That's really what this comes down to. I'm not going to complain that the Lakers are essentially, by way of their corporate partnership with these entities, they are essentially steering an audience towards me. I'm not going to complain about that. And I'm also going to remain as honest as I possibly can and without speculating wildly, right? Everything that I say on here is completely honest. There is nothing else going into my analysis on the Lakers other than offering you guys the best analysis that I can to the best of my knowledge. And that's kind of where I find myself with a lot of this. So I understand the frustration when you tune into those shows and you're just begging, like, somebody call. If Ali Clifton is out there commenting on Jason Kidd's development of Giannis Antetokounmpo, somebody jump back and say, like, wait. Let's rewind this conversation, and that's not actually how that's going to go. All these people have to work together. All these corporate entities have to work together, and the net result is a product that sometimes steers audiences in my direction, and I'm not complaining about that at all. Next question here comes from Corona Dude. I need you and Pete's help. I am close to turning in my Lakers fan card. What the F Jeannie is doing by agreeing as a female to as a woman. Let's not call women females. That's not a good look. What the F is Jeannie doing by agreeing to hire a wife beater and a known backstabber and offering a 3-year deal as a counter offer with a chip winning cost coach? Please, I'm on the edge of the cliff. Talk me out of it. P.S. I know, Anthony, it's hard for you to be positive, but just try for my sake. Love the show. Big fan of Pete. He should be on the Lakers bench because he makes more sense than anyone else. Here's the reason to be positive. They haven't traded LeBron James. Cool? Cool. All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm going to get to the second half of this mailbag tomorrow, and I'm going to take you guys through the Magic Johnson press conference. There's a ton to get to. There's going to be a ton, and not just the Magic Johnson press conference, which isn't even going to be a press conference. He's going to hop on First Take and answer spoon-fed questions. So we'll see how that goes. And then I'm also going to respond to the Lakers press conference with Frank Vogel and whoever else. We'll see how that goes. So there's going to be a ton to talk about. Make sure you guys tune in, just like you tune in every single day to the Locked On Lakers show and the rest of the Locked On NBA network and Locked On network in general. By the way, check out Locked On Dodgers. It's really freaking good. I'm really proud of how that sounds. So check that out. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.